and those chemical weapons did exist, and that cache did exist at Dogwood.
I want to tell you, they lied. Okay. They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none, and they knew there were none. There were no weapons of mass destruction.
Okay, all right.
That the politicians made their narrative. They're sticking to it.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Today's episode is being sponsored by Robinhood. For years now, every politician on the planet has been screaming there were no weapons of mass destruction inside of Iraq. But is that necessarily true? First, let's start by defining weapons of mass destruction. They fit into four categories: chemical, radiological, biological, and nuclear. Are nuclear weapons considered a portion of it? Yeah, absolutely. Had the United States government claimed that Iraq was moving towards building nuclear weapons? Sure. Without a doubt, that was one of President Bush's main talking points when it came to it, but he didn't just stick to nuclear weapons. It was weapons of mass destruction. Now, after the Gulf War was over, Iraq was supposed to get rid of all of their chemical weapons. They were supposed to dispose of them in certain places out in the desert where it wouldn't harm anyone. Now, the question remained whether or not Iraq had stopped producing chemical weapons, number one, and number two, had actually destroyed all of their stockpiles. The U.S. had telegraphed itself going into Iraq well ahead of time, giving the Iraqi government the ability to take those chemical weapons and hide them. Now, in this article from NBC dated back in 2005, you can see CIA's final report, no WMD found inside of Iraq. And to quote it real quick, in his final word, the CIA's top weapons inspector in Iraq said Monday that the hunt for weapons of mass destruction has gone as far as feasible and has found nothing, closing an investigation into the purported programs of Saddam Hussein that were used to justify the 2003 invasion. After more than 18 months, the WMD investigation and debriefing of the WMD-related detainees has been exhausted. But was that necessarily true? And was it true after that date? Because the United States spent a very long time in Iraq. Now, what if I told you that soldiers themselves had been injured inside of Iraq from chemical weapons? This article came out in 2014, specifically October 14th, 2014. It's a New York Times article, and it was titled "The Secret Casualties of Iraq's Abandoned Chemical Weapons." And I'm going to quote this article for you because it's pretty self-explanatory. They're talking about two EOD techs, explosive ordnance disposal techs. He lifted a shell, oily paste oozed from a crack. That does not look like pond water, said his team leader, Staff Sergeant Eric Dueling. The specialist swabbed the shell with chemical detection paper. It turned red, indicating sulfur mustard, the chemical warfare agent designed to burn a victim's airway, skin, and eyes. Now, in January of 2014, due to a Freedom of Information Act request, the United States government released this document. It is 45 PDF pages long, and it is extremely redacted as you go through it. However, I'm going to fast forward you down to page 29 of this document. As you can see from the header on this page, chemical munitions recovered arranged by type of munition, and it actually gives you a quantity along the way as well. Now, remember how I told you in April of 2005, the CIA made a statement saying they had exhausted all means and capabilities, and they had essentially concluded that there was no WMDs inside of Iraq. Well, let's reference this chart real quick. April to June of 2005, you can see down here at the bottom, there's zero. There was a couple that were recovered before that, but nothing significant enough to make a difference. Now, it is also important to note that this starts in April to June of 2004. And if you look just after that came out, about a year after the CIA made that statement in 2006, you can see thousands of chemical weapons were recovered just a year after the CIA made that statement. Then it went dead for a couple years in 2007 and early parts of 2008. And again, it spiked and they found more chemical weapons. And again, in July and September of 2010. So we were finding chemical weapons all the way up to 2010 inside of Iraq. And yet the United States government never went back and corrected itself and said, you know what? Saddam Hussein hid these. Now, in this FOIA document, it does talk about the condition of some of these chemical weapons, and it says that some of them were deteriorated to the point that they were no longer of use. Some of them were shells, but they didn't have the filler inside. Now, keep in mind, the United States went to Iraq in 2003, and that some of these weapons weren't discovered until years later. So they were buried in the ground, some of them in very rough places because they were hiding them. They were in a hurry. The U.S. was about to come in. So regardless of the condition they were at when they were found, the question is, what condition were they in when they were put inside the ground? Now, the other interesting thing to note about this document is it doesn't say anything about 2003, when the bulk of the search was going on initially when we got into Iraq. And once you happen to know it, I happen to have somebody here with me that was there on the ground at the time and involved in the hunt for WMDs inside of Iraq. All right, so on the phone, I have Mitch. Now, Mitch has sent me several documents to verify his identity and also that he was in the military at the time inside of Iraq during the time in question. Now, Mitch is going to keep his last name to himself, and I'm not going to show his face, but Mitch is here on the phone with us. Mitch, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Matt.
How you doing today, brother?
Oh, fantastic. It's good to be here to speak with you.
Hey, thanks. So when were you in Iraq?
My unit got into theater in May. We were assigned to military police. That's all I'm going to go into details, but we were a military police unit, combat support unit. And we got into theater right after major combat action. And we started to secure critical sites.
So what time frame is that?
Like, 2003.
So 2003.
All 2003.
Okay, yeah. So tail end of 2003, invasion 2003, like where on the map are you putting?
May all the way until 2004.
Okay. So May of 2003. So May of 2003, you enter theater, and where specifically were you inside of Iraq?
Initially, we were a combat support unit for military police. So we did a lot of convoys for the first couple months of theater. We went back and forth from Baghdad to Crete, all the way up to Mosul at times, and then all the way back down to Kuwait, escorting units. One of the big units we escorted was 5th Corps. That was the 5th Corps main one had to go up to Baghdad, and we escorted them up, and that got interesting. That was the first time I got shot at as an individual, and I think most of my guys were shot at. That finally woke us all up that it was a real deal.
Yeah. So after that, you guys got assigned to do a different duty. Is that correct?
Yes. Military police units got assigned in Baghdad to work with the Iraqi police under reconstitution. This was still when the city was in chaos, though. Because all the police left because they were bad partyists,
right?
Or they hid, or they did whatever to just disappear. And so we had to recruit guys off the street to be cops unless they volunteered and showed documents that they had some kind of experience. So we worked with them. I was in Sadr City with my guys. We worked with the 1-2 Cav. They were doing our perimeter securities, and we were working with the IPs at that point, and trying to get the city put back together in a sense. And then things got changed because missions got reallocated.
Jeez.
So October of 03, I had to take a detachment of MPs, about 65 of us, down to a place called LSA Dogwood. And that's the topic of this conversation.
Okay.
So I guess that'll just show you the lead up to that.
And what's the general vicinity of LSA Dogwood inside Iraq?
Okay, if you're looking at Baghdad Central, as we all, you know, knew the green zone, right? Dead center Baghdad with the big old dick under it. Go down by the ball in the southwest corner, right when it goes from city to suburb to desert is where Dogwood is. Probably about... by road, if I remember, about 45 minutes to an hour drive, depending on route security. So southwest of Baghdad, about an hour.
Okay. All right. So we're talking about an hour south of Baghdad. And your guys' specific role was to do what?
Clout, route clearance and convoy escorts and critical site security.
And who were you doing that for?
The 1st Armored Division, Division Raider.
Okay. Do you remember who the CG was at the time over that area? Commanding general?
It was a one-star general, yes. I'm not going to mention his name due to the fact that he is a public individual, and it could be easily researched who is the one star of the division rear at the time, if people so to do so. But I'm not going to throw the man under the bus. He was a good leader, and I'm proud to say that when bad things happened, he stepped up to the job and did the right things. So I'm not going to throw him under the bus, but he is aware of all of this. I can verify that.
Okay, cool. Now, I know who that individual is. If you don't want me to disclose him, I'm not going to throw him under the bus for you. Now, as you were escorting these different groups around, what were they doing?
Okay, we had EOD guys, explosive ordnance demolition guys. We had chemical biological warfare units, NBC units. We would escort them around. They were assigned to the Division D rear, and we would escort them around to these locations to detonate large caches. Especially at Dogwood, there was an outdoor cache that was literally a grid square by grid square full of ammunition. This has all been documented. There's an article out there on C-SPAN. I think you can link probably to your audience in about 2004. And they speak about what they found post that. This is pre that. This is 2003 when units were hopscotching from cache to large cache and blowing them in place. And my guys witnessed a lot of that.
So it's interesting you bring this up, right? That you guys are going around from cache to cache and blowing things in place. And that unit's specific responsibility was to hunt for chemical weapons or weapons of mass destruction, right? And
absolutely.
Across all of that, as you were out there escorting and doing all of that, you've provided me with a lot of different pictures, one of which I put up on the screen just a second ago. But you're talking about areas that are, what'd you say, a kilometer by a kilometer?
Yes, caches that were that large. I mean, an entire grid square. Now, if you look at the map.
When EOD showed up to that entire grid square, did they have the ability to actually walk through and check every single munition as they were doing that? Or were they?
Oh, no. There's no way.
So how did they go about getting rid of those munitions of that large vicinity?
Just they would. There are some pictures that I did send where they would just put C4 on it, detonator, remote detonator. We would all back up a kilometer. Some of the photos on Discord that I sent depict this, of how far we were back and how large these explosions were. And you can time it from flash to bang that and see how large these munitions were and how much of them just by these random photos that I can send that depict all of it.
So I just put one of those photos up on the screen for people to see, and that is a huge freaking explosion. You know, when you look at the terrain features and stuff, and it's actually zoomed in so people can get a better view. If I zoom out on it like that, you can see like it's a little bit smaller. But if I zoom in, that's freaking huge. It's massive. And you can see the shockwave and everything going out. So you know it's a big explosion. You know it's going out. So they just literally lined the entire area with explosives and then blew it up.
Yeah. I mean, some of these pictures that I show you, they had all different types of munitions. They had large artillery calibers. They had shoulder fire missiles. They had Good. They had all different types, small and large mortar rounds. So even barrels of substances that they found, explosives, that they had to blow in place because it was escort them from here to here, protect them, let them do their job. And I mean, at times we would be shot at, we would take fire. We had to return fire, engage. And these guys were expected to take inventory of every single round and articulate what they're destroying. I doubt it.
Now, what's really interesting about you talking about them blowing up barrels and everything else is, you know, earlier I showed everybody a U.S. Intelligence and Security Command FOIA request about weapons of mass destruction inside of Iraq, which details thousands upon thousands that or thousands, you know, of chemical weapons that were found inside of Iraq. And some of them were able to accept the chemical agents, but weren't filled. And so what you're saying now is that there was massive barrels filled with stuff that EOD at least felt needed to be blown up, but unknown content.
Yes. Yes. I can't verify. I'm not an NBC officer. I'm not going to say that I am, but I'm saying that these substances, these caches existed. They got blown in place. This is 2003. It was still the Wild West. Nobody had a really solid grasp on exactly what we were doing with all of this. There were times where they would pick all of this stuff up, move it to Dogwood and put it in the cache and just leave it sit. And then that's what we were talking about before with this article on C-SPAN that was from 2004.
Now,
and it leads into all of that.
Now, what's really interesting about your statement versus what's on this document, I'm going to put it up on the screen for people, is you're talking about blowing up these massive caches in 2003 with EOD being super task saturated that they're not able to go over it. And when we look at it, this didn't start. This information that they released didn't even start until April of 2004 when they're tracking some of these things.
Exactly.
And so,
and that's what I'm saying. They're forgetting air quotes to track the 2003 during the, you know, the operations of moving in the bombings after the Baathist left and the security individuals all just walked away from these places. These caches were just sitting throughout the entire country unprotected.
That's wild.
So, I mean, some of your guys from EOD and some of your guys from the SF community had to probably have some knowledge about locations that they had to get into and try to secure. And then just there was so much, and they were, I mean, we had a large amount of forces in theater at this time of 03 because of the invasion, and we still didn't have enough personnel to protect all of these open air caches.
Right. So,
and I guarantee there's a lot of soldiers still out there that will testify to that.
And some of these pictures you're showing me, it looks to be like scuds, almost like big scuds that they have with a couple barrels set up on the outside. Can you elaborate on those a little bit?
Yes. Those were taken by an EOD unit that was responsible for detonating that. My guys were escorting them and securing them while all this happened. So of course we all intershare pictures.
Sure.
Some of these might be out on the internet. I'm not sure. I haven't done much research, but I guarantee a lot of them aren't because I'm the only person that took them.
Did you know that even if you have a 401k for retirement, you can still have an IRA? Robinhood has the only IRA that gives you a 3% boost on every dollar you contribute when you subscribe to Robinhood Gold. But get this. Now through April 30th, Robinhood is even boosting every single dollar you transfer in from other retirement accounts with a 3% match. That's right, no cap on the 3% match. Robinhood Gold gets you the most for your retirement thanks to their IRA with a 3% match. This offer is good through April 30th. Get started at Robinhood.com/boost. Subscription fees apply. And now for some legal info. Claim as of Q1 2024. Validated by Radius Global Market Research. Investing involves risk, including loss. Limitations apply to IRAs and 401ks. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold for 1 year from the date of first 3% match. Must keep Robinhood IRA for 5 years. The 3% matching on transfers is subject to specific terms and conditions. Robinhood IRA available to U.S. customers in good standing. I want to thank Robinhood for sponsoring today's episode. And now back to the interview.
So,
sure.
A lot of these materials, these guns, which were known to carry chemical warheads, had to be detonated in place. And I mean, they were picked up. They had a crane that they would, what is it, an 88, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
An 88 that had the crane on it, boom. They pick it up and put these things in place and stack all the stuff with them that we found or that other units found and just blow them right there and move on to the next one. So that's what these pictures are. Where so, they're just being blown right in the middle of the desert, where so they're being found.
Let's talk about that for a sec, okay? So inside of Iraq, there was only a couple locations that they were actually supposed to be blowing chemical weapons up. Like if EOD found chemical weapons back then, they were supposed to move them to these pre-approved locations in order to blow in place because it was supposed to be safe. Now, several EOD guys have came out since and said essentially what you're saying, that back in 03, 04, we were so task saturated that even if we found them, sometimes we even knew they were there, like chemical munitions, like we're in the stockpiles, but we couldn't move them because we had other things to do. So we had to make this judgment call of, do we waste time moving chemical weapons to this location that could be hours away just to blow them up? Or do we leave them in this massive stockpile with all these other weapons and just blow them in place? Now, being in the military, it's very easy to understand the situation on the ground of what's going on around you. And you're like, dude, for every minute I sit here, there's people sitting on an IED or a roadside bomb or something else that these EOD guys need to get to. And if they waste several hours driving just to blow up to appease international gods, right? And now knowing that they're violating that, knowing that they're supposed to take them there and they're supposed to violate it, do you think they're actually going to be reporting that they blew up chemical weapons at those locations?
Nah, you know the way soldiers are. We need to get stuff done. We move on.
Right.
At that point in 03, it was, like I said, the Wild West in a sense. It wasn't, you know, after the initial combat, it was nobody knew what to do because we weren't given the proper orders to actually execute of exactly what we were supposed to be doing with this stuff. And that's what I'm saying is that I will verify and back up exactly what I'm telling you with in what you had those discussions and what those reports are saying with those individuals having to blow stuff in place and move on because it was that busy at that point. And there was such, like I said, there were engineers doing it and engineers aren't qualified. Well, no, I don't want to speak about that because I can't speak about engineers. I remember working with some engineer guys and buddies of mine. We went to Fort Leonard Wood together and we all remember being so busy that if we found an IED, blow it in place, shoot at it, do it, whatever. Yeah. Engineers would literally take out whatever materials they had for engineering stuff and figure out a way to blow IEDs up in place. And technically they weren't supposed to be doing that because they weren't EOD. You know what I mean, Matt? Mm-hmm. You tracking?
No, 100%.
We had to do what we had to do to get by. And back then, one day, you know, they just start putting IEDs everywhere. The next day, they just start shooting at us. The next day, they throw grenades off of overpasses at us. And then we didn't care about what munitions they were. Just get that shit done and let's move on.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. And my soldiers were exposed to that. And unfortunately, I lost one of my soldiers to that. And that's why I feel I need to talk about this and get this out when I heard you speak about this in your community, because it is important. We lost a very good person and his family lost him and his child lost him as a father for eternity. And this stuff needs to be put out that he wasn't lost for nothing, that we were doing a job. And he was doing a job. And these things do exist. And those chemical weapons did exist. And that cache did exist at Dogwood.
So sure.
If I can help with that, that's why I'm here.
Perfect. Yeah. And I mean, like, that's really important. A lot of people don't, you know, they lose it in politics. And I think it drives most veterans insane every time we hear a politician like Trump or Obama or whoever bring up there was no WMDs in Iraq. And yet over here, like up on the screen, I've got a post from the New York Times. Now that the FOIA report that I put up on the screen earlier, that's from 2014 when that was actually got released and heavily redacted. But that was January 2014. Well, in October 2014, they actually, New York Times released an article and it's titled "The Secret Casualties of Iraq's Abandoned Chemical Weapons." And in this report that they posted, it actually talks about a couple guys that got injured from chemical weapons inside of Iraq, like U.S. service members that got exposed to chemical weapons inside of Iraq in 2008. Now, this was after they came out with, you know, the no weapons of mass destruction and everything else. But when we look at the frickin' charts on all this stuff, you know, they were still fighting all the way up to 2010. And so while that narrative had already been set and it was going out, they were still finding these things all the way up to 2010.
Absolutely. And we said it back then that they took these munitions and they buried them because we gave them such a head start in warning, you know, Bush made the countdown for him, which I'm not going to bash on, like I said, politics, because I have my feelings and everybody has a right to theirs. But the fact of the matter is, they had the opportunity to hide these munitions. They had the opportunity to bury them without a trace for a long time. And the people that knew about them probably died or never talk about it. And but we did have plenty left over that weren't, that were evidence that showed that these were chemical weapons. They were the type of materials that were used when Saddam bombed his own people and attacked his own people with chemical weapons.
So when
it's not like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're okay. So when you were going through all that, like from your time in Iraq, when you were out, like, you know, providing the escort security for these folks that were blowing up all of these different munitions, did they ever tell you, like, hey, we think we might have chemical weapons, or we in fact found them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember speaking to an NBC officer myself while he was dealing with a bunker. And he said that all of his indicators for his instrument hit positive that there were materials at one time in this bunker of chemical weapons. I'm not going to say nuclear because that was not part of the conversation.
Sure.
But chemical weapons, all of his instruments, he said hit positive inside of these bunkers. And I did share some bunker pictures with you.
You did.
If you want to, I think you might have to crop them sideways.
I'll put them on the screen.
But there are fields and fields of bunkers that had different types of munitions. And all of the soldiers there in that time will testify to these bunkers. We all saw them. We were all there. And them trying to whisk it away that there was no shit in them, that's a lie. Because these pictures I'm sending you prove, and these other units that were out there, and I encourage people to speak up, that had experience with this. Because it's important. Because they did exist. It's not a myth. It's just an over media stated point that, oh no, it's a talking point now for politicians, so now it never existed below that. And to us people that dealt with it in reality, like my soldier that lost his life for this, to protect these roads out on a mission so they could move along and secure these areas so they can blow this stuff in place, that was my soldier. He was a dad. And now that I'm a dad, I feel it every day.
Sure.
And so for them just to say it didn't exist anymore is such a lie. It's such a farce. It's such a punch in the gut to all of us that served there.
So it's not a question whether or not they stopped producing them after, you know, the Gulf War, but whether or not they held on to them and actually destroyed all of them like they were supposed to. And the deal is we have found thousands in that country, thousands of chemical weapons in that country. Now, some of them had been buried for years and years by the time they got discovered. And you're talking about out in one of the most harsh environments on the frickin' planet where these things were buried. And so if these weapons aren't getting discovered till 2006, 2007, 2008, 2010, you know, the issue that I have with the report and the way they're bringing it up is some of them that they're discovering, like, again, major stockpile of over, I'm going to put it up on the screen, major stockpile of over 2,000 that got found in 2006. And when you start reading through this FOIA request, they'll be like, well, you know, the weapons were degraded, so they couldn't use them anymore. Well, how long were they buried under the ground? You know, did they do it in 2002 and they were under the ground for 4 years? Because that'll wreak havoc on those things over those 4 years. So the question isn't how were they found, what condition were they found, but what condition were they when they got put in the ground? Because we're talking about the justification for being there. And the thing that they're writing off in every single report that I read is, well, you know, they were in horrible condition when they were discovered. Well, some of these things weren't discovered until 2010. And the bulk of them discovered between, you know, 05 and 06. And that 2 year, you know, time frame, really the bulk in 06 and some of them in 08, like a good chunk of them. And so they'd been underground for that long. In addition to that, you start thinking back to 03 and you go, okay, well, in 2003, when you guys were over there blowing up these cache sites and everything, EOD was so task saturated, they knew, they've stated that they can't take them from one location to the other because it's going to take too much time. So they just made the judgment call. They thought it was perfectly safe and they blew everything in place. And some of the stockpiles were so large, they didn't even have time to go through them all. And there was other containers like those barrels that we had up on the screen where nobody knew what the hell was in there.
Exactly. This is your point exactly, that there was a time where there was so much going on. They were tasking out EOD guys left and right. They just wasn't enough of them. So they would have engineers do it. Don't tell me that those guys knew exactly what they were blowing up at all these different sites across the country. And I was in just one little sector. Like I said, Southwest Baghdad is where I'm at. And if you can show the map, hopefully you can crop it, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
To show where the cache is in Dogwood. But also, if you go down to the bottom right corner, is where a ton of these bunkers were, where they had these munitions. And like I said, they were left unsecure. We were getting hit with our own types of rounds in 03 that was left over from 91.
Sure.
I sent you a picture of IEDs that are U.S. stamped, that are white phosphorus rounds, being used as IEDs against us.
Sure. And I mean, the same thing, like even the Taliban was using freaking munitions from when Russia was there. You know what I mean? Like they repurpose stuff all the freaking time. But there's also reports that I don't know if you know this or not. There's also reports of EOD guys inside of Iraq that found IEDs, which were made out of chemical weapons.
Oh, absolutely. Some of these pictures that I can send you depict a lot of different types of IEDs. And like I said, this one has just a white phosphorus in the, let's see here. I'm trying to see. It's on Discord. Let's see. It's buried half. It's half buried, but you can see the point of it sticking up to where it's marked as white phosphorus round. So just that's just one little example of my guy finding one when we were there. But I can imagine the thousands of rounds that are hundreds of thousands. Let's be honest.
Well,
that were scattered throughout that country.
I mean, just the amount of pictures that you have provided to me alone and the short little time frame that you were there goes to speak to how many there are, because you're just one little tiny unit that's running around over there knocking this out. But it wasn't like there wasn't, you know, lots of y'all over there doing this specific mission.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It is happening all over the country. So can you imagine magnifying just this small sample of what I'm providing that was happening all over the country? And that's what I'm saying, is that there's a whole generation of vets from Iraq and Afghanistan that got exposed to stuff. Well, hopefully they're being taken care of by the VA. If not, it's embarrassing. But the burn pits, et cetera, are all examples of it. But there was absolutely chemicals in that country. Okay, maybe they weren't the nuclear, you know, the bomb that everybody wanted. And that's what the politicians made it out to be. But in reality, he still had plenty of chemical rounds left over in that country to wreak havoc. And our guys destroyed them.
Right. And we know for a fact that they were moving them out of Baghdad and trying to get rid of them. There's, you know, documented reports of, you know, people sitting on particular military bases and seeing Iraqis coming over with front end, construction equipment and starting to dig right outside the base. And they go and they roll them up and they were digging up chemical weapons right outside the base. And all of it's documented now. But for some reason, this narrative still exists. And I wouldn't be surprised if in the, you know, presidential debates coming up, that it's one of those other talking points that Trump or Biden or somebody throws out there.
Oh, yeah. It will be disregarded like it always has been. And it's unfortunate. But hey, like I said, if you ever need to take it to another level where people need to testify or anything else, I still have plenty of pictures and documentation that I kept over the years. And like I said to that one individual we were speaking about earlier, that Brigadier General that was assigned or that is well known to this day, he can verify that these incidences happened as well. He saw the cache with his own eyes.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure they're aware of it, but it's the political spin that's been put on things. And if you haven't been in the frickin' military, you know, like it's hard to comprehend that things like this get downplayed, right? Like, hey, yeah, we found munitions buried, but they're all old and crappy. So that's not, you know, reasonable for them to use. So it doesn't count.
No, that doesn't count.
But
that doesn't count.
But what they're not doing is saying, well, they've been buried here for 6 years, or they've been buried here for 4 years, and this is the type of soil that they were buried in. This is where they were hidden. This is what the elements were that they exposed to. You know, we had the ability to carbon date things and go back and assess where they're at. Like, we can take bodies and bury them in the ground. And I could, you know, forensic experts can look at them and tell you how long that body's been in the ground based on everything that's out there. And I have no doubt we could do the same thing with the type of casings and munitions to determine whether or not they were viable at the time. But the thing is, they don't care.
Exactly, Matt. You are hit the nail right on the head with this, that the politicians made their narrative. They're sticking to it. And the rest of us just have to just, oh yeah, that never happened. Bullshit. It did happen. And a lot of soldiers lost their lives to it. And that's what this is about. And it was for a reason. And they were doing their jobs and they were proud to do their jobs.
Yeah.
And that is just washed over. And I hate how the politicians do that. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to get off topic here. I thought it through before I did the interview with you that I wouldn't go on tangents.
Yeah, well, you know what? You've earned the right to complain about this. It's freaking offensive. It's offensive to say that, like, U.S. service members just got wasted for no reason, that they, like, lost their lives for zero reason, and it takes away from their story, and it takes away from the validity of what we were doing. You know what I mean? Like, you have every right to be upset about it, and you have every right to say our government's full of crap. Because you've seen it with your own eyes.
Yes. Yes. And, but what gets me is that, you know, you're doing this grassroots. You're doing an amazing job on your show. And that's why I decided to make this public. I always kept it to myself. I always kept these records, these maps, all of this stuff to myself. Because I never felt that it was a necessity to put it out until I start watching you and Rob talk about this and start getting into it. And that's why I felt compelled. I was having a bad day that day that I called. And I was thinking about the soldiers that I lost and the friends that I lost. And we were there for a reason. And we did do our job and we did it the right way. Now, people can say Iraq's a failure, blah, 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 all they want. Well, you know what? At that time, it wasn't a failure. We were proud of what we did. We held our heads high because we accomplished the mission. So I take offense to people saying that it wasn't an accomplishment, because to us at that moment, damn right, it was an accomplishment.
Right.
And they deserve that. And the soldiers that didn't come back, their families deserve that, not to be used as a political talking point. So yes, I take offense to that very much so. And that is a trigger point for me. So I just wanted you to say that your grassroots show has really sparked a huge interest. And I hope your audience realizes that by talking about this and getting this out there, and by having other veterans talk about it, isn't a bad thing. We all have bad days. It comes and it goes. But that's a whole nother PTSD talk. Your show was fantastic with that.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Oh, it was. It was spot on, man.
Well, is there anything else you want to say, like add to this?
I don't know. Did I answer your questions this stuff? I mean, is there any other information or?
No, I mean, you laid it out very clear, and it's, I mean, it's, again, it's firsthand accounts, you know, like it is, you are quite literally a firsthand account of we're blowing stuff up that we didn't know what it was, that we had chemical weapon detectors setting off, letting us know that they had been there, and we found munitions in the vicinity, and we've blown up stuff that was so big, cache is so large, that is quite literally covering a square kilometer. I mean, that's insane. And we have statements from EOD people that are saying that, yeah, we did that. We knew we blew up chemical weapons, but we didn't move them to the location we were supposed to because we had other things going on. And the U.S. government released that document that shows we found thousands of them. And then attempts to, like, downplay it because they were buried. It's frustrating. And it's a slap in the face.
Well, as I said before, and as you're saying now, is that now that's a narrative, it's a talking point for them. They don't care about the truth. And that's the problem with our political system right now, on both sides. I don't care what anybody has to say.
Yeah.
It's a fact to all normal people that see it for what it is. If you put your bias aside, I don't care who you are, left or right, just be an open-minded, common sense individual. And when you and the Colonel were talking about common sense the other day, that really stuck. Holy goodness. Let's just have some common sense as a society and realize that our politicians are not in this for us, period. Not either side. They're not. And the fact is, we need to change that. And I mean, not radically, but I mean by the system, we need to get that changed. And the best that they can offer is Trump and Biden. That's pathetic. We need to make a statement as a society that we shouldn't accept that, because the truth needs to be out there and not used as a political talking point for nothing, because people lost their lives for a political talking point that isn't even true. That is sad in our society, man. That is sad.
Totally agree, man. Totally agree. Well, dude, I appreciate I appreciate you coming on and doing this. I really do.
Yeah. Anytime, man. Anytime.
Really appreciate Mitch calling in and giving us that firsthand account. So not only do we have the FOIA documents that come out, but we also have several documented cases of firsthand account witnesses of chemical weapons being inside of Iraq. Now, why our government chooses to continue to deny this absolutely blows my mind. Was it the nuclear weapons that we were looking for? No. And there's nothing wrong with admitting that, but saying that there was no weapons of mass destruction completely and totally is a slap in the face to every single U.S. service member that lost their life in that country or that had their lives affected by that war. Thank you for joining me on the Speak the Truth podcast. Until next time, peace, love, happiness, God bless. I'm out of here.